And take a seat. God bless. Thank you, guys. When we're singing these words, you just want to say, what a mighty God we serve. Amen. Blessed indeed. Blessed indeed to be with you today. It's good to see so many of you with us this morning. Hallelujah. For those looking in online, welcome. Glad you're with us today. Today is, of course, our annual Missions Sunday. It's always a good day to be in the house of the Lord. This Sunday in October is actually also recognized by many other churches and denominations, but we hold it at this time of the year primarily because since around 2005, around about October or November, you'd find me preparing, getting ready and heading off to Ghana, and I would normally be leaving to visit the churches and the projects we are connected to and still incredibly passionate about under the organization of Rescue Aid Mission. For many years now, I've been visiting Ghana, as you know, twice a year, of course. Sadly, not to be this year. But let me be clear on one thing regarding my role in what we're doing in Ghana. I am not a missionary, and I am not a missionary to Ghana or Africa or any other part of the world for that matter. I am a visiting pastor and teacher. I'm a mentor of several men of God who live over there in Ghana doing a tremendous work. I am a financial supporter personally and corporately and a fundraiser for the work that's taking place in Ghana. And it's very nice, I must be honest with you, it's very nice over there at times when the Ghanaian people come to hear the big white man preach. I've told you before, they don't call me Hugh, they call me Huge. It's just how they spell it with an E and not an H at the end. They love the funny accent that we have, you hear them speaking, and they respond to, listen, and they respond wholeheartedly to the word of God and hang on every word. And when we get to pray God's healing and blessing over their church, their community, and their lives. But that is just perhaps, for me, too, 3 Sundays at most out of a year. So I am not a missionary to Ghana. I'm not a missionary on any level whatsoever. Pastor Osmond Osayowusu, he is a missionary. He is the bishop. He oversees all the work that we do there. Pastor Gladson, who you've met, is our pastor in Mossvale Community Sanctuary. He is a missionary in that community. Pastor Abraham, his associate pastor, who's been there since this work began, mighty man of God, is a missionary. Pastor Ruben, who is the pastor at Crocobiti Village and School, is a mighty man of God and a missionary. Pastor Peter, who works out of Honey Village with nothing and no resources, is a mighty man of God who is a missionary. Pastor John, who now heads up the church in Jamestown, is a mighty man of God and a missionary. They are some of my heroes for what they do in this country with little at their disposal, and yet their whole message is the gospel. It is the good news that Jesus died, that Jesus rose again, that Jesus Christ is coming back someday. So that's the men that we look up to, we support, we give to, we bless them best we can. And there are many other men and women around the world doing exactly the same thing, but God's called us to bless those and resource those and support those in Ghana. And we've continued to serve the church throughout this year. And thank you for those of you amongst us who have continued on a month-to-month basis to bless the work that's going on there. We've mentioned, sadly, we haven't been able really to support the church project. That's kind of come to a standstill, but the other needs have been great. And we thank God that through different means, we have been able to support those needs at this time. But the biggest thing they still do, and they tell you, is it's feeding people, looking after people, but it's reaching the lost. Their whole journey, their whole mission is reaching the lost and serving the lost in the villages they travel to. These men I've mentioned, these are God's missionaries, men of God, and evangelists. And I want to share a little bit today before we look at a little clip and footage of up-to-date stuff about our role as missionaries, or our role to missions even here in Scotland. As I shared a few years ago, our word mission comes from the Latin word sending. Sending, and being a Christian or a believer includes being sent out into the world as a representative of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So let us never forget, remember this, let us never forget how hopeless it was to be without Jesus. You remember that? Yeah, we do. That bitter, sweet moment of despair and then joy when you realize that, hey, you were a sinner and you found relief in the forgiveness of God as it came upon your life. We must remember, dear ones, that no matter how contented or how successful people appear to be, that without Jesus, they are hopelessly lost and headed for eternal separation from God. The message has never changed, and it's the same today as it was yesterday. Everybody, whether they realize it or not yet, needs Jesus. Hallelujah. See, God, for you and I today, he wants us to have both a ministry within the body of Christ and a mission in the world today. What does that look like for you and I? Well, your ministry is your service to believers, and your mission is your service to unbelievers. This is how it plays out. So throughout the Gospels, we hear wonderful stories of Jesus entering into synagogues to read scriptures, to teach, and to heal. In fact, the New Testament records more than 10 occasions on which the ministry of Jesus took place in the synagogue. But look closer at the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ. He also went and taught in people's homes. For example, we know he often visited Lazarus, Mary, and Martha at their home. Scripture tells us Jesus also taught where? In the fields, by trees, on boats, by the sea, by a well, on the Mount of Olives, on mountaintops and valleys, and just about everywhere he sat down, he was on mission. He was teaching and revealing the Father to those who would listen to him. So when the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, entered our world, he didn't stay within the walls of a temple and his words were for everyone to hear. He didn't just go and preach and sit and teach the temple leaders. He walked directly into the life of sinners. Thank God that he walked into my life. Praise God for that. He didn't just come near, he touched the lepers. He associated with the prostitutes. He dined with what we would call the heathen. He scandalized the religious community by liaison day in, day out with the world. So in order for Jesus to reach and rescue the world, you know what? He had to, at some level, connect to it. Had to connect to it. Likewise, for you and I to impact and influence the world for Jesus, we must be like him. We must do like he did. As followers of Jesus Christ, we also live today as God's ambassadors. Church, we are his representatives. Today we are his messengers. And if you don't know it yet, we are on mission. We are on mission right now in Paisley, in Renfrewshire, in our community, or in our streets. So as followers of Jesus, today, you and I need to recognize what our ministry looks like, what our mission is, and how we are expressing God's love to those who we come into contact each and every single day of our lives. And it was this mission strategy, yes, it was this mission strategy that Jesus had in his mind when he said these words in Matthew chapter 5, the most important words we'll hear regarding being missional or on mission in the Word of God today. Jesus speaks himself and says, "You are the salt of the earth." Hallelujah. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Then Jesus said in verse 14, you are, not maybe, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. No, sir. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the entire house. Verse 16, in the same way, dearly beloved, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen. What words from the Master. Imagine Jesus standing on a hillside by the Sea of Galilee, speaking quietly to a small band of earnest followers, commissioning them right there to be salt and light. The mission Jesus had on earth is our mission now. It's become our mission because of what? Because we are the body of Christ, are we not? We are the body of Christ. What he did in his physical body prior to the crucifixion, we are to continue today as his spiritual body, yes, the church. Making a difference. Jesus here was speaking metaphorically as he was so prone to using as an example for the audience in that day of that day so they could easily comprehend and understand what Jesus was saying. Now hear this. Salt's very important. Still today, salt was widely used here as a preservative. Also, it was a healing aid. Also, it added flavor to food. We know these things. So Jesus' followers, that's you and I, but listen to this. Jesus' followers are preserving morals and God's way on earth. Preventing, this is what we must be doing today still, preventing the decay of society by their influence. You see, Christianity has fulfilled this role in days gone by, but take note, dear ones, today, that we are salt only if you and I maintain our difference from the world round about us. So we can live in the world, but we're not of the world. Do you hear that? So Jesus' followers are agents of healing, are we? Yes, we are, thank you. We are agents of healing, spiritual, physical, and emotional to others by helping them to know the Lord God and His amazing Word. And by doing that, we are adding good flavor to the world. See, all the good flavor is morally being removed from the world. It is the responsibility of you and I, the church, on mission to put the flavor of Jesus back into the world. And in doing so, seeing the moral integrity and fiber of a nation begin to rise again. Amen. Are we up for that task, I wonder? Jesus made it absolutely clear that he wants his followers, that's you and I, to radiate his love to those all around about them. That's why he also, in the scripture, in Matthew chapter 5, he talked about light. Now, I'll just put it out there, and don't be ashamed of me, men, today, because I've said this today, I love candles. I light the candles on last night. Even Gay wasn't even in the house. But I love candles probably even more so than my wife does. It's unusual, I get that, but hey, it works for me. And so I love it this time of the year when the dark nights are coming in. And you can close the curtains and put the candles around the fireplace and get them on. I love that whole scene going on there. I'd rather look at the fireplace with the candles on than watch the telly. Works better for me. Hey, and by the way, Christmas is coming. Vanilla woodwicks are my favorite right now. I'm just saying, no advert intended there. I said chocolate orange last year and I'm still eating them. Still eating them today. Listen, here's something for you. I can light a candle. Let me say it this way. I can't light a candle and turn the brightness down. There's no dimmer switch there. The candle, once it's lit, has no choice. This needs to resonate with someone today. The very nature of candlelight is that it dispels the darkness all around it. The very nature. And here's the other thing for you and I as being the light of the world today. My eyes, when I light the candle, are always drawn to the brightest spot. The candle may be beautiful in essence, but that's not what catches my eye. The central flame from the candle which I've lit radiates from it. I look to that. That's what catches my eye. And it is exactly, or should be exactly, the same way for true believers. True Christians should, by their very, very nature, radiate God to the core of their lives, to the people around about them. Scripture says, we are, not maybe, might be, we are the light of the world. If so, we must then radiate the light and dispel or break up the darkness. That's a responsibility, and yet there is a warning here, a challenge or two in this scripture for you and I on mission today. He is warning us that if you and I dare, and some have sadly fallen by the way and found themselves in rough ground, if we dare lose these qualities, then we have no godly purpose on earth, and we have become, as scripture says, useless. Just as salt, when it loses its saltiness, it then needs to be thrown out, and scripture says walked on like gravel or sand. And I would imagine today, maybe I'm wrong here, but I would imagine that from this illustration, individuals who become lukewarm or no longer put God first in their life, he is no longer the priority, and just live for themselves, would be categorized as losing their saltiness. Scripture says, and they look at the two words, trampled underfoot. Trampled underfoot there makes me envision that they will, this is what they will end up like, giving in, as some have, giving in to the ways and the values of ungodly society. This is what we're seeing in scripture here, as it is the same today. They will be walked upon by others and have no effective influence whatsoever for good. And taking this path, dear ones, so be careful when you read this, taking this path may lead to spiritual destruction for you and I in the end if we choose this route for our lives. So when Jesus spoke, listen, when Jesus spoke, he anticipated that some believers might choose to limit their candle power. I like that. I like that word, candle power. To refuse to let the light shine. Come on. It's happening today. He knew that they would feel safer securely, scripture tells us, hidden under a bowl. Put away. That bowl, listen to me, let me get up close with you now. That bowl could even be a church building. Yes, it could. Where we could enjoy corporate public worship, but escape the accountability associated with going public with our faith. He anticipated this and forbade it. You almost hear him echoing this out. Let your light shine. Guys, so let your light shine before all men. It's almost like he commanded, and he did not, and he does not now leave believers the option of letting the worlds they inhabit remain in undisturbed darkness. You and I are the light of the world, so let your light shine before men. Jesus made it obvious that he wants you and I to spread his influence to every corner of this dark, broken, disturbed, fallen world. I wonder how we are doing with that today. But listen to this. It's not enough that we simply now take our lives out of hiding. Scripture says Jesus wants us to put them on a lampstand where every single person can see them. God wants the light of his love to be held high so it can permeate every single bit of darkness. And I wonder today, how long will it take us or for us to realize that we actually right now are God's agents of light? We are agents of light today, and it is through the channels of our daily lives that God shines this light of His message of ongoing love. So I wonder right now, according to His Word, how do we become agents of life? Light, how can we bring glory to God? How can we touch the lives of people we meet in a positive, life-changing way? How do you and I today communicate the model of love of Jesus when we step outside the walls of the church and let's just say into our workplace? Well, I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 16 verse 8, and David wrote, here's how it works. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. Amen. Keep my eyes always on the Lord. With Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I believe we need this revelation that Jesus is always with us. All the time. Our co-worker at our right hand. Remember, God is the unseen partner in all of life. He is with you and I as children of God wherever we go, wherever we venture, whatever adventure or mission we go on. And here's some help for you today. So before you wake up and go, well, you got to wake up. Before you go to work tomorrow, take a little bit time to pray about that day. Take a little bit time about that workplace you're going into. Pray for the people you'll be working with and those you may end up serving that day. Think about the meaning of these words from the 13th century writer Meister Eckhart. He says this, and I love this. The kind of work we do does not make us holy, but we make it holy. He says, as we have the divine being within, we bless each task we do, be it eating or sleeping or watching or any other task. What scripture is saying here is, take the unseen partner to work with you. Don't leave him at home. Don't leave him at home. Consciously take Jesus' presence with you throughout that day. Pray for those round about you. Ask God for help to love them, for concern for those who you come alongside. Because listen to this, being conscious of God's presence can have and will have a profound impact on you, but also on your job. Well, absolutely, but also the people you come into contact with in that day. Paul wrote in Colossians 3 verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So at your work, whatever it may be, here's the key, have an attitude that reflects the positive nature of God's amazing grace on your life. See how that works for you? Because I understand this. Many jobs are boring. Mine's isn't. But many jobs are boring. But listen to this. Maybe someone who's struggling work right now needs to hear this. In the midst of a less desirable circumstances, attitude can transform a boring, thankless job into a Christian ministry or mission, because transformation could happen to you in your work if you would take time to adjust your attitude spiritually to that day for that moment. And bear in mind that salt, go back to salt, bear in mind that salt stings as it cleanses wounds. Light blinds when we have been in the darkness for too long. It shows up sometimes, the dirt. What are we saying? What's Jesus saying? He's saying, when you choose this mission, be prepared for a little conflict. Be prepared for a little bit of rejection. Jesus turned to His disciples on that hill, and He turns to us, to each of us that has already made the commitment to follow Him. And He said, blessed are you, He says, when people insult you and persecute you. Jesus' own words. Why would people do that to you and I, we wonder? Why would they have that attitude? And then comes Jesus' answer once again, and so simply, because you are the salt of the world, you are the light of the world. This is how it plays. Jesus' message about being salt and light isn't a nice, comfortable call to offer flavor and a warm, fuzzy feeling or glow to the world. It is a call to go out into the world around us, to be salt in a wound, to shine light into dark corners of the world, and to consider ourselves, yes, blessed when people respond by insulting and rejecting us. What a message from the Master. Paul reminds us in Romans 1 verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile." Why should I be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Asked Paul. He said, it is the message of salvation, hallelujah. It is the message of new life. It is powerful. It's the answer to all of man's greatest and deepest needs. And guess what today, church? You rub shoulders, we do, every day with people who need this message of power and grace, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to Isaiah's words in Isaiah 58, the first two verses, then we'll skip down. I'm going to read this today from the Message Bible. He says, "This is the kind of fast day I am after, to break the chains of injustice. Get rid of exploitation in the workplace. Free the oppressed. Cancel debts. What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry. Inviting the homeless poor into your homes. Putting clothing on the shivering ill-clad. Being available to your own families. Do this and lights will turn on. And your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. Then when you pray, God will answer. You'll call out for help and I'll say, here I am." Amen. The message the Lord gave to Isaiah is that exactly the one Jesus gives you and I. What's he saying? He's saying, get involved in the problems of the world as salt and light. You bring, as you do that, you bring glory to God. Get involved. And the context is exactly the same too. Isaiah is raging against the religiosity of his time. People coming, showing up, making a show of the religion, following the letter of the law, and ignoring the character of God embodied in the spirit of the law. And what does Jesus follow? Listen, what does Jesus follow with? Salt and light. Salt and light. He says, his response, "I have not come to abolish the law, I have come to fulfill it," hallelujah, "to complete the law." Jesus' mission, guys, is not to say, "Oh, listen, don't worry about all that old stuff, here's something to replace it." He says, "Look, I've come to help you understand and fully embody the Spirit of God which lies behind all of this that's going on." And he goes on in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount to amplify what it means with practical examples of how the letter of the law is just not enough. He says this, not just do not murder, but don't harbor murderous thoughts. Not just do not commit adultery, but do not harbor lustful thoughts. If a soldier commands you go 1 mile, go 2 miles with him. The essence of all of this is the same, and it is fully embrace the character of God embodied in the law, and that alone will bring honor to God. Scripture was saying in Matthew chapter 5, get out there and be salt. Get out there and be light. Because this is what God requires of us. Knowing it knowing it may well bring us insult. It may bring some rejection. It may bring some persecution. But listen to this today. It's about discovering the call of God for your life and what your mission looks like, and then putting your heart and soul and time and money into this project. All the time, letting God's light shine into dark places. Hey, even when our message sticks in someone's throat, even when the salt makes their wounds sore, even when the light hurts their eyes as it shines. Dearly beloved, we may not be able to do everything. We may never travel abroad to go to countries who are poverty stricken and help out and bring aid. But every single one of us has the capacity within the kingdom of God to make a difference and do something for the glory of God. Amen. So when we better understand our purpose, you'll better understand you're equipped to go and be salt and light. And in doing so, yes, you will make wounds uncomfortable, but cleaner. Hallelujah. Eyes may be dazzled for a moment, but dark, shadowy corners will snap to reveal their dusty cobwebs. Mission. You will be a radical, listen to this, you will be a radical challenge, yes you will, if you live this way, to the world beyond these walls, which will more than likely react, find a reaction of opposition and rejection and insult, rather than popularity and applause that some, sadly, may be looking for in churches today. We are on mission in our town. We're on mission in our cafes. Close to home is that. We're on mission in Renfrewshire. We're also on mission to the nation of Ghana. Like I said, some may never go. Prayerfully, some over the years will travel with us and see what we've done. But we want to just, as we come to the end of our service, give you a little bit up close personal footage. For those who don't know what we're doing, a little glimpse at the start here in this video piece of what we're doing. Then Pastor Gladson has got a few words for you today. At the end of this, Susan will come and I'll encourage you to bring your tithes and offering. If you want to bless missions, we'll also give you the opportunity to do that. Let's show these couple of clips, please. Thank you.